figured, and Yana Dioma, we could really think a little bit about this training. So that's what we're going to do, but at the same time, to try to engage a little, I'm trying to appreciate some of the developments within the stories of the Torah. And even though your focus and focus is definitely halacha and gemara, at the same time, we recognize how so many halachot are obviously extrapolated not only from the pshat of psukim, but from the general context. And therefore, how Chazal learned so many different ideas as they're sensitive to the text itself. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be very, very textually sensitive right now as we try to understand a little bit about Pesach Sheni. In order to understand Pesach Sheni, obviously, what do you have to do, both in Halacha and in Tanakh? You have to go back to? So Pesach Rishon, that's right. So we don't call it Pesach Rishon. We call it Pesach, anyone know? In Chazal terms, it's called Pesach Mitzrayim. Right, the Pesach that took place in Mitzrayim. So let's even take a look and see that Pesach Mitzrayim doesn't actually start on Yud Dalet Nisan. It actually starts, as you know, on HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon HaLechodeshi HaShanah. And by that I mean, not only is the mitzvah of Karbon Pesach given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but Rosh Chodesh Nisan actually is the first mitzvah, or the first mitzvah of, and of being sensitive to the lunar calendar, especially against the solar culture of the time, keeping in mind that not only the Egyptians, but all the pagan cultures at the time were following a solar calendar. So Am Yisrael is told, you're going to, from now on, keep a lunar calendar. Rishonu lachem lechodshei hashana. Dabro kol adat Yisrael lemor, besor lechodesh hazeh, v'yachu lahem isa levet avot sa levayit. Stage number one, again, be sensitive to the beginning of the month. And one has to ask oneself, why particularly on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So obviously, if Am Yisrael are going to have a different identity, then the identity begins with the beginning of the moon, the beginning of the month, the beginning of the lunar calendar. This, as we know, is also highlighted in this week's Parsha, Parshat Emor, where you see that every Chag has two aspects, a Mikra Kodesh aspect and a Shabbaton aspect. The Mikra Kodesh, that's always going to be linked to a lunar date, and that lunar date will always be linked to a historical event. Versus the Shabbaton will always be linked to a more universal solar date, i.e. agricultural date, which is never going to be like an actual date. It's going to be a solar season, like en basbachem metzvoatchem, or kitavo el haaretz, right? B'chol moshvoteichem. So those are the two different aspects. So that's why we have to begin on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Hashem says, okay, now you have your own culture, your own calendar. Wait 10 days, and then you're going to take the Karban Pesach. Take a look at what happens next. Again, you take it on Yud. You have to watch the Karban Pesach. That's one of the Milim Manchot in the section, Shmira. You're going to pay attention to the Karban Pesach for 4 days. And then on Yud Dalid, you're going to slaughter the Karban Pesach. You're going to take the Avudat Ezov, the Hyssop branch. You're going to sprinkle blood on both sides. And now you're going to stay in your home. And then at night, what are you going to do? Eat the Karban Pesach, right? So please remember all these dates. We have Rosh Chodesh, we have Yud, we have Yud Dalid. Yud Dalid is really, as I'm sure you've learned in Masechet Pesachim, almost a pseudo Yom Tov, because the Karban Pesach celebration / preparation, right? The Hechshar of the Mitzvah is actually on Yud Dalid. And then all you're going to do on Or L'Tetvav is basically eat the Karban Pesach. So that's what's going on in the first part of Perek Yud Bet. But take a look. And because what happens right after? Pasuk Yigimel, V'haya adam lachem la'ot, ala batim asher atem sham, v'ra'iti et adam, u'pasachti alechem, v'lo yabachem negef ha'ashvit, v'akuti b'eret Mitzrayim. Okay, now what's the whole point of eating the Karban Pesach? So what did we always learn? You tell me, what's the point of the Karban Pesach? Why do we have to do this very strange lamb chop dinner? It could be a goat chop dinner also. But, yeah, now why do we have a particularly Karban Pesach? Why does Hashem say, okay, this is what you have to do. Is Karban Pesach going to be the means through which we leave Mitzrayim? No, right? We don't leave after we eat the Karban Pesach or through the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach is the means through which we're going to be saved from Makat Bechorot. Makat Bechorot is going to be the Makat that gets us out of Mitzrayim, right? That Paro says, enough is enough, then get out of here. But Karban Pesach is going to be the means through which we're going to be saved. And obviously we have to ask ourselves why, right? Why is this so significant? So I'm going to make a very long story or a long shir, much shorter here. And I'm saying, let's even just skim through the psukim and understand what Am Yisrael have to do. I'm actually going to act it out as if charade. And namely, take the Karban Pesach, split it in half. And then ultimately walk out. Did this scene remind you of anything?
You anything about Daim.
It's a yofi, kol hakavod. Right? This is exactly what Avraham Avinu does. This is Brifin Haftarim. And this is what Hashem is demanding. You want to be safe from Makat B'chorot, Mitzuyan, but you have to finally, and I say finally because Am Yisrael have been very passive, we haven't heard them say anything until, or since, basically, Perek Vav. Why not? They don't believe in Moshe anymore. Hashem says to be saved even, and ultimately to get out of Mitzrayim, you have to show some sense of connection, some identification with your history. You have to show a sense of belief that this God is Elohei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that this whole process of history is a fulfillment of Ripping Haftarim, of the Geriyah Zarach Havart Zololahim, Vavadu Mino Otam Avraham Yotshana, Vacharechin Yitzhak Rufush Gadol. That's what's so important. So Karban Pesach is going to save them from Makat B'chorot. It's going to be a means through which they're going to identify as members, not only as Am Yisrael in 1948, but rather they're going to identify as the children, as the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that's until now. And we understand, okay, through the Karban Pesach, by the way, what is it actually, or how does it actually work? How does the Karban Pesach save us? Our identification will be manifest on the doors, right, on the petach of the bayit. And then what will happen? Pasachti al batichem, right? Hashem will, what's the translation of pasachti? Passover, right? Happy Pesach, happy Passover. So I'm on a campaign, I have to tell you. A Pesach in Tanakh doesn't really mean Passover, sorry?
To shield?
To shield, yefe ma'od, right? Avarti is really Passover, right? And Hashem says, Avarti b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem is going to pass over Mitzrayim and see who has the blood on the doorpost, who doesn't. Pesach actually means to, right, to hover over, right? Just like, anatayatem puschim al shnei ha-si'ifim. Right, to hover over in a manner of protection. So here's my campaign, by the way, and I'd love if you can help me out. Then we're going to change the happy Passover motif to happy hovering holiday. Okay, there. So in any case, that's Pesach. And now you think that that was it, but no, the next Pasuk. V'aya hayom hazeh lachem lezikaron v'chagotem oto chag l'Hashem l'dorotechem chukat olam techagugim. You're not only going to do this now, rather, this is going to be a holiday that you're going to have from here on in. And our sense is that this is the way through which we're always going to remember not only the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the association with Brit Haftarim, and the fact that we are hereby identified through our beliefs and with the Jewish people and with the God of Israel. Pasuk Tevav, Shabbat Yamin Matot Tochelu. But in the future, this couple of hours of slaughtering the Pesach and then eating the Pesach is then going to be followed by 7 days of matzah eating. Right? So it's going to be a 7-day matzah eating festival. And this is also significant, keeping in mind that if you turn back to the first pasuk, Hashem then is going to be speaking now to Moshe. This is part of the discourse between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, where Hashem says, we have Pesach on one side, and we also have, and interestingly, 7 days of matzah eating, where you're not allowed to touch Seor. By the way, why is this so significant? That also when we eat the Karban Pesach, and when we leave Mitzrayim, that we go 7 days without eating any sourdough bread, right? That's or without eating any leavening agent. So you have to remember that Am Yisrael haven't left Mitzrayim yet. So we don't know that the matzot are also going to be a reminder for how we left Mitzrayim. But it's also, even before they leave Mitzrayim, they have to engage in matzah versus chametz. So you have to remember that the Egyptians were very technologically advanced, and they were the ones who created or discovered sourdough bread, right? They discovered how to create leavening agents, so much so that we find in various anthropological findings that they used to even walk around with and little lockets that had sourdough in it. Isn't that fascinating? So then they could just share it with others and always have these huge chametz bases of food. That being the case, Hashem says, you're going to leave not only a solar culture behind you, but you're going to leave the sourdough culture behind you, and you're going to eat matzot, and in the future, you're going to celebrate it for 7 days, and it's clear from, even when Hashem tells us to Moshe, that this is going to be for the future, and if now, through Karban Pesach, they're going to leave Mitzrayim, they're not going to have time to celebrate a 7-day matzah eating festival. So Moshe is very wise, and if you look at Pasuk HaBalef, Vayikra Moshe l'chol zikne Yisrael, when Moshe actually commands on Yisrael, what does he tell them about? Only Karban Pesach. Why does he not tell them about a 7-day matzah eating festival? Because it's not yet relevant for them. Right? They're not going to celebrate 7 days of matzah eating. When does Moshe tell them about the 7 day matzah eating festival? If you take a look at Shmuel Perek Yudgimel, well, you see. And now, by the way, just for a pause for a moment, and you're probably wondering, wait a second, why is Shani taking away our precious time? And I know it's very precious time. And in the afternoon, while we're so tired, to talk about Pesach Sheni and to have an in-depth Tanach here. And also, here is something that I would like to share with you, again, because you are the future leaders of Am Yisrael, right? You know this? And in addition to, obviously, raising the level of Torah Shabbat Peskari, and every time I look at you, I have to say I have, like, cannot so from, because I remember the years and years and years of really focusing on Gemara study. In the end, bottom line, when it comes to a time like Pesach Sheni, you're not just going to open up Masechet Pesachim and Masechet Kritot. What else are you going to open up? You're going to open up Tanakh. And now you're going to show how the ideas of Torah Shabbat Peh are very much linked here. And certainly when you're speaking to communities, when you're speaking to Talmidot, it's so imperative that you understand where the ideas come from, because when you do, then it opens up your eyes to many other fascinating ideas. So that's why we're doing this. And we recognize, wait a second, if you look at the Pesukim, then all of a sudden you see a certain dichotomy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Pesach and Chag HaMatzot at the same time. But Moshe only tells Bnei Yisrael, Chag HaPesach, because Chag HaMatzot is not relevant. Until when? So now we continue. Perek Yudgimel. They just left Mitzrayim. If you look carefully in Perek Yudgimel, they left Mitzrayim twice actually. After Karban Pesach and after Brit Mila, Vayizav HaShem HaMoshe Limor. Kadesh HaKol B'chor HaPesach HaKol Racha B'Bnei Yisrael Badam Uba Be'ema Lihu. What does Hashem tell Moshe? Time for the mitzvah of Heter Rechem. And Moshe figures out from this, right? Brilliant Navi he is. Moshe figures out, wait a second, Hashem is giving me a mitzvah of sanctifying the firstborn. Moshe realizes, what's the point of this mitzvah? Why now that we left Mitzrayim do we have to sanctify all the firstborns? Very nice. Hashem wants us to remember the events of last night, right, of how the Bechor was saved. So Moshe, right, in Hebrew you would say, Nafal alav hasimon, right? Nafal hasimon, he realizes, right, eureka moment, Hashem wants us to remember the events of last night. So Moshe starts telling them, he doesn't talk about Kadesh Kol Bechor yet, Kedusha Bechor. Rather, he says, Zachor tayyam azeh, asher yitatum in Mitzrayim bebeit avadzim, ki bachuzuk yad hoti Hashem et chamizah v'lo yachel chamitz. Make sure you remember, not only how we left Mitzrayim, but, pasukei, when we get to Eretz Yisrael, just like you're going to have the mitzvah of Kiddush Bechor to remind you of the events of Makat Bechorot, so too you're going to have to keep on fulfilling Karban Pesach. And if I'm already talking about mitzvot Hatzuyot Ba'aretz, Pasuk Vav Shivat Yemim, Tocham Matzot, Ovayom Hashvi Chag L'Hashem. Then, from here on in, I want you to know that from the moment that Hashem brings you into the land, you're not only going to be fulfilling Pesach, which is just a couple of hours, if you think about it, again, until Chatzot, but then you're also going to start fulfilling and keeping the 7 day Matzah festival called Chag HaMatzot. By the way, this is another challenge. When you see your friends over Chol HaMoed Pesach, what should you really wish them?
Chag HaMatzot Sameach.
Thank you. Todah Rabbah, not Chag HaPesach. Right, that ended. You know, that's called the Chag HaMatzot. Bar 1253 in Eretz Yisrael this past year. Yeah, now that's when Pesach ends. So Moshe already anticipates, right, that, okay, these are mitzvot that are going to be relevant. Pesach and Chag HaMatzot, Vayaki B'yach HaHashem. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, speaking of which, what does Moshe think, based on everything that Hashem has told him, what does he think Am Yisrael are going to get to Eretz Yisrael? In a few days, a few weeks, right? This is even before Kriyat Yamsuf. A couple of weeks, but definitely by next year, we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, right? Muvan me'ilav, that Pesach and Chag HaMatzot are going to be juxtaposed in the celebratory aspect. So let's fast forward for a moment. Remember, 7 weeks later, we get the Torah, and then 40 days after that, the Neder, namely, Petah Egel, very sad. And then we're going to be engaged in building the Mishkan, which, by the way, according to Chazal, was actually constructed, right, was finished sometime before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So now we're exactly a year later. Exactly a year later than what? A year from what is Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Not a year from Yetziyat Mitzrayim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was a year from? Achodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodeshim. Right? Was a year from their first mitzvah, which ultimately formed them as a people. So this is going to be very exciting. Everyone hold on tight, because we're going to see a very, very hectic Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And I say this because, and especially in our day and age, Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, right? Is there no right? Stern finishes before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or no? No, you go
until
Erev Pesach. Wow. How does everyone get like to Israel for Pesach? There's a travel day. You miss some school. That's what has to happen. That's right. Okay, really sad because you need some time to prepare for Pesach, right? Even if it is just flying there. So I'm sure you know that Eretz Yisrael, Midrashot, Yeshivot, and by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And people already get very nervous. Oh, there's so much to do. And then I say, no, and no reason to be overwhelmed because no matter how hectic your Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Pesach is, I guarantee that can compare to what's going on in the Midbar a year after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. You want to see how hectic this is? Let's get started. Again, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, no Perek Mem. By the end of Sefer Shemot, this is after Petegel, this is after all the mitzvot of the Mishkan, Be'ezabar Hashem HaMoshe Limor, B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon, B'achad LaChodesh. And we're telling ourselves, we know that date. This is such an exciting date. This is the anniversary date to the identification of Am Yisrael through their own calendar and through mitzvah observance. This is wonderful. Takim et Mishkan Ol Moed. This is going to be the date wherein you're going to actually begin to serve in the Mishkan. This Sam Tashem et Avron Haidot v'Sakotel Ha'aron et HaParochet V'Beit et HaShulchan V'Arachta et HaKol. And Moshe has this long checklist that Hashem says, okay, put the Luchot in the Aron. Put the Kaporet on top of the Aron. Now light the menorah. Now offer the ketoret. Now put lechem hapanim. And basically Hashem goes through everything, including now dress the kohanim. But interestingly, in Shmuel Perek Mem, we hear that Moshe Rabbeinu does everything except for taking care of the kohanim. Not to worry, he does take care of the kohanim, but you're not going to hear about it at the end of Sefer Shmot. Because the end of Sefer Shmot is all about how Moshe is going to get the Mishkan started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the sake of Hashem. Then, in Vayikra, you're going to hear the same exact date, the same exact scene. I want you to even envision, you know, a multiple screen HDTV, and wherein one scene is in Shmot, but it actually is all taking place chronologically at the same time. But now we're going to hear only in Vayikra, after we hear seven prakim of how the Mishkan is for everyone, Adam Ki Akriv Mikem, we're all going to be able to bring a Karban Ola Mincha Chatzat Asham Shlamim. But then the Torah says, but the Kohanim in particular are going to be the ones to worship there. So starting Parak Chet, we hear about how the Kohanim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, what they were doing. So what happened then? Vayidbar Hashem l'Moshe l'Emor, Kach et Aron v'Panav v'Tzev v'Bagadim v'Tzev min ha'Mishchan v'Parak Chatat v'Tzev v'Yehilin v'Tzal ha'Matzot. Go and take Aron and get him dressed and get his sons dressed and teach them how to offer the various karbanot and sprinkle blood and sprinkle oil on their bohen ozen ha'yimanit and bohen and on all their appendages, basically. So the Kohanim are also in the Mishkan with Moshe. Moshe is sacrificing, but the Kohanim are going to start as well. And just to prove this, we continue, not only in Vayikra, but now fast forward to Bamidbar. But the truth is that you're fast forwarding in the text, but not in time. Because Bamidbar Zayin tells us, what day are we? I feel like saying Groundhog Day, right? Meaning it's that day again. What day again? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Moshe's there. You've heard until now. The Kohanim are there. And who else is there? Let's see. Vayim shachotam v'kadish v'kokeilav. V'etam mizbech v'kokeilav. Vayim shachem v'kadish otam. V'yikrivu nisi'ei Yisrael rashei beit avotam. Who else is there? The Nisi'im, the respective tribes and their leaders. Right? And by the way, this was not, interestingly, a divinely appointed position of leadership. These Nisi'im, and this was a very organic form of leadership, right? They were the ones who were considered the elders of the tribes. Heim nisiei hamatot, heim homdim ala pudim. And they're going to represent their tribes. And not only are they there, but take a look at Pasuk Hey, kach mitzan. Vayula vodet avodat al moed. You remember they bring the wagons and they each bring the exact same karban, each one of them. One of the days starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan. V'natata utam el halaviyim ish kubi avodatot. And who else is there? Leviyim. And just to prove that Leviyim are there, take a look at Bamidbar Perakhet. While all this is going on, there's Moshe, there are Kohanim, there are Nisiyim, and thereby their entire tribe that they represent. And Perakhet, we find this is also the day that the Leviyim are going to start their first day on the job. The Leviyim are there. And Hashem says, you're going to, at the same time, and you can all see the motif because I bolded it. What's the bitoy manche? The leading phrase? Mitoch b'nei Yisrael, bitoch b'nei Yisrael, mitunim mitunim himali, mitoch b'nei Yisrael. As opposed to Kohanim, who are representatives of God to the people, the Leviim are representatives of the people to God. And they're also there then, at this same day. And what's going on this day? Then Aaron has to wave them over the Mizbeach, as if he doesn't have enough on his mind. Right? There's so much. He's getting dressed. And he's following Moshe, bringing the Karbanot. He's being taught. He's both a mentor and an apprentice. This is a very, very hectic day. And just in case there isn't enough going on, what does the next parak tell us? We're in Bamidbar Parak 10 now. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai. Hashem now tells Moshe on the Chodesh Nisan, oh, by the way, Vayasu B'nai Yisrael, you should know that in 14 days from now, B'nai Yisrael are going to worship a Karban Pesach. So the Ramban asks the most obvious question, and that is, really, firstly, why does Hashem have to tell Moshe to sacrifice the Karban Pesach? Why couldn't Moshe realize on his own that on Yud Aleph Nisan we have to sacrifice a Karban Pesach? So what does the Ramban explain? He says, you wouldn't necessarily think that we should sacrifice the Karban Pesach. Why not? Because based on Shmuel Perek Yud Gimel, when are they going to fulfill Karban Pesach? L'dorotechem, together with the 7-day Matzah eating festival. But that you can only have in Eretz Yisrael. So, explains the Ramban, had Hashem not come to Moshe right now, would they have necessarily known to sacrifice the Pesach? No. So, the Ramban explains, so why is it so important that Hashem should tell them to sacrifice the Karban Pesach? Just wait till next year, when by next year, Emirat Hashem will be in Eretz Yisrael. What does he explain? Atzavkan achad b'nisan, v'achar kach shav l'hazkir asada sh'yisira otan, sh'lo yishlechu mitzvat ha-Pesach. The next paragraph. They thought that you're only going to fulfill this again once we can fulfill the Chakamatzo. Let's skip 3 lines. And now I understand, okay, Hashem wants them to do it now, even without Chakamatzo. Just the Pesach again, but why? He says, and this you know also from Sefer Pesachim, they're going to sacrifice this Pesach, and by the way, next Pesach in Eretz Hashem, where are we supposed to be? It's in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine, I'll give it away. You know what happens? Are they in Eretz Yisrael the next year? No, they're not. Are they going to sacrifice Pesach the next year? Or the year after that? Or the year after that? No. Anna, which shows us that it really is a mitzvah hatzuya ba'aretz. So the Ramban says, okay, if that's the case, then why does Hashem say celebrate it now? So he explains, because the first anniversary is the most important. Yes. First anniversary. I heard my students tell me that there's a minhag. This is true, that people keep their wedding cake for their first anniversary. You didn't do that, right? That is definitely not coming somewhere. Do this, but and now back to this idea. The first anniversary, though, and is extremely important, right? How many of you celebrated a first birthday? You wouldn't know because you didn't celebrate it, but I guarantee that your parents celebrated it, right? And I always wonder, why do mothers do this? Like, why do we celebrate our kids' 1-year-old birthday parties, right? And you know, we make our children miserable, and we put on an uncomfortable party hat, and we light fire, and you know, whatever it may be. It's not for the parents, obviously, because the first anniversary, remember, that's so fascinating that a year ago the child was born, wasn't even in this world, right, until last year. Although more so, first year wedding anniversary. And I always tell Kalo to say, you know, you're going to watch your wedding video probably for the first and last time for many, many years, and not on your first year wedding anniversary. And you're going to look at each other and you're going to realize, wow, we've come a long way, right, over the past year. And now that first year wedding anniversary is what corroborates, it's what brings you back to that wedding day and what will establish those memories. And I'm sure that you definitely have explored Pesach time, the role, right, of collective memory. And I'm sure you've read that, Professor Yerushalmi Zachor, where he talks about the idea of a collective national memory that really only comes into play not when you're experiencing something, but when you decide how you're going to remember something. And this then is what the Ramban says is why it's so imperative that the year after Yetziat Mitzrayim, that they create their memories, that they have an imprint now for the future as well. Okay, but what's bothering us? Okay, I get it. They have to keep Pesach on Yud Daled Nisan. Why couldn't Hashem just have done what? There's so many things going on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And why did Hashem have to tell Moshe, oh, by the way, in 14 days from now, they're going to fulfill the Pesach? Can't you, like, wait a couple of days, a week or so, and then tell them about Pesach? So you tell me, why do you think Hashem came back on Rosh Chodesh Nisan when there's so much going on in the Mishkan to say, oh, by the way, there's also, and also Karban Pesach? So one basic idea one can argue is that the Karban Pesach isn't just linked to Yudal and Nisan. We saw that it's the first mitzvah together with Rosh Chodesh. So Hashem is going to give it back on Rosh Chodesh to remind us that this is part of our identity. Just like the calendar, it's part of our identity. So you're going to start to remember it, not on Yudalid, but on Aleph Rosh Chodesh. But I believe that there's another reason, and that is because who's here in the Mishkan at the time of its inauguration? Very busy sacrificing karbanot. Let's see, quick review. Who's sacrificing karbanot? And? Moshe. And? Nisim. And? Thank you. And even though it's true that is the regular proletariat, we weren't necessarily sacrificing, but our nasi is there, right? Or a different nasi every day. And Hashem comes and says, basically, tell them, Israel, are they going to have an opportunity to also be part of this mission? Are they going to have an opportunity to sacrifice? Yeah, tell them now. Even though they're not actually doing anything now, tell them now that they're going to have a role here also. That they are very much involved here. So we're just continuing, as you see, literally with the text of Bamidbar, appreciating that there are three different scenes that all take place simultaneously, but divided amongst the different chumashim of Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, so that in Shemot we focus on Moshe inaugurating the Mishkan for Hashem. In Vayikra we focus on the role of the Mishkan for the Kohanim, and in Bamidbar the focus of the Mishkan is for the Machane, right, for the entire encampment represented by the Mizim. But now let's continue with where we left off. And Mamash, the same parak. We're now in the middle of page 4, again, parak tet pasuk hey. Vayasu et ha-pesach barishon, bar-ba-asar yom lachodosh bein ha-arbayim b'midbar Sinai, k'chol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, heim asu b'nei Yisrael. And we hear that they did it. Again, fast forward, again, Chanukat HaMishkan. We're not going to hear about the death of Nadav and Avihu here because that was part of the Kohanim context in Vayikra. So fast forward a couple of days, especially the Ramban will explain that the Nasiim started to bring their karbanot on Aleph Nisan, which means that when did the last Nasi bring his karban? Yud Bet. Which means that, already Yud Gimel, we really are very chronological over here. And now it's time to get ready for the Karban Pesach, and we hear Am Yisrael fulfill the Karban Pesach, Hasukva. Vayhi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam, v'lo yachlu lasot ha-pesach v'yamahu. But there were people who were tamei lanefesh, and if you're tamei lanefesh, what can't you do? Bring your karban to the Mishkan. Vayemru anashim ha'im ha'ilav, anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. Lama nigara. Levilti akrivet karban Hashem b'mado b'tof b'nei Yisrael. What does nigara mean? Why should we miss out? This is like really pure FOMO, right? Which, by the way, I do have to say, again, when FOMO first became Russia tabled, and I had no idea what it meant. This was years and years gone. I remember a student coming in saying, Shani, I have to talk to you. I'm suffering from terrible, terrible FOMO. And my first impression was, this must be some type of disease or something. That's right. And she says, especially Thursday night. And what is it? And it hits me when I'm in the Beit Midrash and everyone else is out, you know, for dinner, you know, with their friends. It's terrible, terrible FOMO. And I said, well, maybe then that's a good thing you're not out, like, eating with your friends. And again, it's related to food or something. And then she says, but then even when I go out to eat with my friends, I also have FOMO because I'm not in the Beit Midrash. Could it be that if she eats the food, she has FOMO, and she doesn't eat the food, she also has FOMO? And also, I have to ask her, okay, what is this FOMO thing that you suffer from? So basically, this fear of missing out is exactly what these ancient Mayim Lenefesh Adam are arguing. Lama nigara levilti akriv et karban Hashem b'moado. So you tell me, what are they afraid of missing out on? Just look on at the puzzle. What do they not want to miss out on? The lamb chop dinner? The top of the name, they don't want to miss out on a national ceremony that basically is a ceremony of their identity. They're like, oh my gosh, how can we not be part of this? It's like saying, how can we not be in Yerushalayim for 50 years? How can we not be in Yom HaTzmaut, in Eretz Yisrael, for Yom HaTzmaut? But basically, they say, why should we lose out on being part of B'nai Yisrael? Right? They understand that the Karban Pesach is really the means of identifying all of us. And we're going to see in just a moment how justifiable their complaint is, even though, what's the halachic understanding the Chazal is going to, are going to explain? Let's take a look at the Gemara and Sukkah that you all know. Ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. The reason they had to ask is because they're really putter. They're super duper putter. And if you're putter, then are there any ramifications? They didn't have to sacrifice a Karban Pesach. And are they going to be punished for not sacrificing Karban Pesach? What do you mean they're entirely exempt from this national ceremony? So that's the question. When you're exempt from a national tekes, are you excited? Like, yay, I don't have to go there. Or, what do you mean? I don't want to be exempt. So Chazal ask, "Osik mitzvah pater min mitzvah mehacha nafka mehatan nafka detanya vayan Hashem asher hayutz meyom lenefesh adam." So we learn it actually from Pesach Sheni. We learn it from this complaint. "Osik mitzvah pater min mitzvah." They were pater, but they're saying we don't want to be pater. We have terrible FOMO. So Chazal ask, "Okay, which mitzvah then were they involved in?" So let's try to explore each one. Mi hayu. So I'm sure that you learned this when you were very young as well. But yes, the Pesach Sheni, you can't even call them complainers, right? The Pesach Sheni presenters. And now those that say, Lama Nigara, and now they were those who were carrying the bones of Yosef. So now we're going to think about this Midrash, again, these words of Rabbi Yosef Hadlili, with a critical mind. And now what bothers you? If they already knew Rosh Chodesh Nisan that they have to sacrifice, and what should they have done?
Purify themselves.
But you're not allowed to leave, right? Bones by themselves, right? That's why you need a shomer, right? Again, kvod hamit. So they knew that. Was there a way that they could have left the kever of Yosef? It tells you what. What are Chazal trying to say? These are people that wouldn't leave the kever of Yosef. And obviously, once they did become purified, someone else would have to watch. They would not leave the Kever of Yosef. Why? Why did they say that they were not leaving the Kever of Yosef? We're going to see one of the explanations is Meis Mitzvah. So say Meis Mitzvah. Why the Kever of Yosef? Because if you know the story of Mitzrayim, you know what the bones of Yosef represent. Rabbi Yosef is saying, I know who these people are. These are people who are adamant about and passionate about not missing out on the Yetziat Mitzrayim identity. Because if you remember Shmuel Perek Yigimel, Vayhi v'shalach paro etam v'lo necham elokim derech eretz pishtim, even when we hear that Am Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, then in the middle of all of this, Pasuk Yutev, Vayikach Moshe tatmut Yosef imo, ki yashpeh yishpeh et b'nei Yisrael limor, pakod yukbo lukim etcham alitam at tatmutayim zeh etchem. This Pasuk always bothered me. Why now, after they left Mitzrayim twice, does the Torah say, oh, by the way, when they were leaving, Moshe took Yosef's bones? Thank you. You should have told us this before. Why is it now? For us to realize that when they took Yosef's bones symbolized something. What did they symbolize? A fulfillment of the promise of Hakol Yifkaor Elokim Etzchem Alitam Etzmotayim Mizei Etzchem. That's what Yosef's bones symbolized. They symbolized those that understood that there was going to come a day when Hashem was going to fulfill the promise of Ripping Haftarim. And therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Hadlili, it's so clear. Who are these people who don't want to miss out on the Pesach experience? They're people who don't want to miss out on the Pesach experience. Who are those people? The people who understand the message of Yosef's bones. That's who they were. Next opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishal Val Tzafan Hayu, Shayu Oskem Min Azavavi. Wow. Anna, what does that mean? Wait a second. Bayom Hashmini, what happens in Bayuka Paratet? It's now the eighth day according to Moshe Parshim, Chet Nisan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Am Yisrael in the form of fire. Right? Finally revisiting the manifestation of the Shekhinah that they lost out on from the time of Beit HaEgel. Now the Shekhinah's back. And how do Am Yisrael respond? Vayaronu, they're ecstatic. Vayikhu al-Pneihem, and they're intimidated and overwhelmed. And in the midst of all this, Nadav and Avihu, who see the fire of Hashem, want to respond in a symbiotic fashion and bring fire to God. But what's the problem? Vayichu. Nadav b'nei Aaron, Nadav Avihu, ish machtato, vayitznu behem ish. V'yasimu alai ketorif, v'akrivu l'pnei Hashem, ish zara asher lo tibalt. But Hashem said, and I mandate how you worship me. You don't mandate how to worship me. And what has to be done now? Well, the corpses are inside the mikdash. So Moshe calls Mishael and Eltzafan b'nei Uziel, his first cousins, he calls, and he says, take out the corpses of Nadav and Avihu. And they do. So according to Rabbi Akiva, everyone even do the calculations together with me. That means that when did Mishael and Eltzafan become tame? Ready? When would they be tahor? Chet, tet, yud, yud aleph, yud bet, yud gimel, yud dalet. But you can't go back to the mikdash until you can even tovel on day 7. But you can't go back to the mikdash until after day 7, which means that they miss out on Karban Pesach by what? Hours. A few hours. Can you imagine how frustrating that is? So why does Rabbi Akiva say that? Maybe because, I don't know, is Mr. Shir Hashir and he doesn't like missed opportunities, right? But maybe, I believe even more, because he's so sensitive to the test. Because what does he know? And who are these people then that don't want to miss out on the Pesach experience? Who are they? They're not just Mishael and Eltzafan. Who are Mishael and Eltzafan? They are Levian. So we just saw in the parak mamash right before, just a few psukim earlier. Who are Levian? They are mitoch bnei Yisrael, mitoch bnei Yisrael, bitoch, mitoch bnei Yisrael. And what is it that the Pesach Sheni people are saying? We don't want to miss out on being bitoch bnei Yisrael, and we can't miss out on being bitoch bnei Yisrael because we're Levian. What's our job? To be bitoch bnei Yisrael. So Moshe, this doesn't make sense. I understand that we're pater, but our whole job is to be the intermediary between the people and the Mishkan when it comes to. To have kravata karbanot, and now the first national ceremony of bringing karbanot, and we're not going to be Levim. We're not going to show them what it means to be a Levi, what it means to be betoch bnei Yisrael. And now the last possibility, if you take a look, Anna comes along, and Rabbi Yitzchak and says, "In nosei aron osha Yosef, are you yochelin l'tayer?" He's bothered, and he says, "If it was really those that were carrying Yosef's bones, then." Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they already knew they need 7 days to become Tamar. They should have prepared. And if it was Mishael and Eltzafan, then they also could have been. Right? And also, even Ezra says, because Aleph Nisan was the inauguration, Chet Nisan was Yom HaShmini. The Ramban, however, explains, and he quotes Rashi, and it must be the Rav Yitzchak believes like Rashi, that the inauguration by Yom HaShmini was Aleph Nisan. If Yom HaShmini was Aleph Nisan, then could Mishael and Eltzafan have purified themselves? Yes. So what's his explanation? And now that, why couldn't they bring Ella Oskin b'meit mitzvah? Who were these people? What does it mean Oskin b'meit mitzvah? This is tragic. You have a relative that dies on Erev Pesach. You hear these stories all the time. And dying on Erev Pesach. And the relatives have to do what? To bury. I mean, these were people who had to involve themselves with the mitzvah. These aren't necessarily people who are like super duper like mitzvah chasers because they don't have a choice. They have to deal with the mitzvah. But what bothers them? And what is Rabbi Yitzchak trying to say? They were dealing with a mitzvah. Shechal Shvi Shalem Liyaber Pesach. And it really was a case where they just were going to miss out on Karban Pesach by a couple of hours and they say, Lama Nigara. We don't understand. We want to do this mitzvah, but the whole goal of mitzvah is to identify as betoch bnei Yisrael. Mitzvah is such a personal mitzvah. And of course we're going to do it, but why? Because we're taking care of our personal selves. Should we literally sacrifice or forfeit an opportunity to be part of the people, to be part of the nation? So no matter which explanation you read, each one, and I'd like you to recognize that when you approach Divrei Chazal, to understand that it's not just to be technical filling in the blanks. Okay, who are these? Who are these anashim that complain lama nigara? Rather, what Chazal are trying to teach us by each one? That they're not just filling in lakune, but explaining what the significance of Aaron Shel Yosef is. Explaining the significance of who and what living him are. So with this, we're going to continue now and see that. What does Hashem answer them? Sorry, here we go. Pasuk Tet. Vayomer lehem Moshe. This is, we know, is one of the cases where Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. On one hand, he knows halacha. What's the halacha? Ha'osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. On the other hand, does he recognize that they have a valid argument? These are people who are either living and who want to be betok b'nei Yisrael. These are people who don't want to forfeit the national identity. And these are people who believe so strongly in Tzivut Mitzrayim. These are people who want to be involved in the public. Whatever the case may be, Moshe says, stay here. Imdu b'shma'a ma'isav Hashem lachem. That's a very good point. He understands that they don't want to miss out. They're suffering from FOMO. So, if you don't have an opportunity for Pesach and Yadal and Nisan, not to worry. Either if you're Tamei or if you're living far away, there still is an opportunity when a photo session you are going to sacrifice a carbon Pesach the same way. With Matzah and Maror, exactly. A month later, which is such a strange phenomenon. Because again, do we ever have this, that you miss out on the mitzvah and now there's a second chance? No, but it's beautiful. Because they have the right motives, the right understanding. That's what's going to serve as a precedent for the future as well. I always like to say, I get excited for Pesach Sheni. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I was Tamei Lanefesh for Pesach Rishon. And now when Chazal talk about Nisan is a month of Ula, based on Rabbi Yoshua, Benisan Yigalu, Benisan Atizin Ligael, and I get so excited, not just because, you know, they talk about Nisan, but I get so excited because I really do believe every year Nisan comes around, Ula, it's going to be this month, this year, definitely, definitely. And then, Rosh Chodesh year, everyone is really happy because you finally get to listen to music during the Sefira, depending on which one's going to listen to. But, Anna, I'm not happy on Rosh Chodesh year, you know why? Because it's the end of Nisan. And then it didn't happen Nisan. But then I remember, wait, there's Pesach Sheni. Right? I was still Tamei Lanefesh, but this shows that there are second chances and there are new opportunities. So that's on a more philosophical, encouraging, optimistic level. But now we're going to see and not something all the more beautiful, but all the more puzzling at the same time. So now the last question we have, and that is, why a month later? What do I mean by this? That even when there are opportunities, right, think of Tashlumin and Tefillah, and that we also learn from our Pesukim in the Torah. And now how do we know that, and you can be, right, you can compensate? And because the Karban Ola basically says, anytime you miss on something and you still want the connection with Hashem, offer a Karban Ola. But when? Right away. Why here does Hashem say a month later? Right? We never have it. Okay, you have a way to make it up, but only a month later. Right? It has to be a month later. And we're thinking, wait, especially if it's connected to Tumah, when should it be? Not a month later, but as soon as you're mitahir yourself. Or you want to make it universal, 7 days. But why a month? So let's go back and remind ourselves that the dates here are very significant. That the whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said Dafkan Rosh Chodesh Nisan to sacrifice the Pesach was because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the anniversary date of the birth of Am Yisrael. And Yudala Nisan is going to be the actual date where Am Yisrael demonstrate their faith. And at the beginning of their commitment to Hashem through what? The Karban Pesach. So you tell me, anything significant happened on Yudala Tetvav Iyar? So we're going to go back one more time to Shmuel Perek Yudbet and remind ourselves what happened on Yudala Nisan. Right, Hashem had come already Rosh Chodesh Nisan and said, Yana speak to Kol Adat Yisrael. And notice that Hashem gave this mitzvah to Moshe and Aaron in Eretz Mitzrayim, that they have to command all of Am Yisrael with regard to the Karban Pesach. So quickly, what are the various halachot of the Karban Pesach? Number one, Tachosu alaseh, selavet avot salabayit, ish meksat nefashot, tachosu alaseh. You have to have a pre-calculated amount that everyone's going to eat. I always say you have to figure out how many adolescent boys there are in the household to know like how many lamb chops everyone is going to eat so that you have enough basim, enough izim for everyone to eat. Okay, there has to be a pre-calculated amount. What else? Lot of tzirim yimenu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave anything over. Okay, number three, you're not allowed to break bones. Beautiful. And when do you have to eat this? You have to eat it in the evening, right? Bein harbayim is when you can start eating it until the morning. And number four, we're talking about also the mitzvot for dorot. And number four, well, in Mitzrayim, it said in interesting halacha, you're not allowed to break bones, and you're also not allowed to go out of your homes. Take a look at page 6. In the end of the Karban Pesach, Vatam Lotzot Eish Mitzvah Pesach. They're not allowed to leave their homes while they're eating the Karban Pesach. As a matter of fact, not even until the next morning. Let me realize, wait a second, this is so, so cool. Why? Because, remember, then they left Mitzrayim. And then there was Kriyas Yamsuf. And we don't even have a date. Chazal say Shvi Shal Pesach, Paro chase after them for 3 days. They left 3 days. So they met on the seventh day. But we don't have any dates. After Kriyas Yamsuf, they come to Marat. Do you remember that? The Bitter Waters. After that, they come to Ilema. After that, they go to Midbar Sin. And for the first time, we're in Shmuel Perek Tzitzai, Veisume Elim Vayavol Kol Adapen Yisrael Amul Barasim Asher Benin Limu Ben Sinai B'chamisha Atar Yom L'chodesh HaShemim B'titta Meret Mitzrayim. What day do they get here to Midbar Sin? Tet Vav Av Chodesh HaShemim. Tet Vav L'chodesh Iyar. And this in itself is so cool, because it's the first time that we have a date since Yitzya Mitzrayim. And it's not just any date. What date is it? It's exactly a month after the previous date that we had, which was that Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim on Tetvav l'chodesh harishon. Come on, this is so cool. Not only is it so cool, but Am Yisrael complained for food. And justifiably, Hashem says, yes, I did this on purpose. And as a nisayon, to challenge them, to teach them that just like the water, if they want water, it's going to be accompanied with Sham sam l'chokum mishpat v'sham nisahu. It's going to be accompanied with mitzvah observance. So too, if they want food, they have to learn. There are certain rules for the food. But let's turn back for a moment and see how Am Yisrael complained. What did they say? Which is also strange. Because when it came to Marah, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, who were they complaining to? Just Moshe. Now they're complaining to Moshe and Aaron. Ah, oh, I guess Hashem wanted us to die. We should have just died in Mitzrayim. Vishuvteinu al sir habasar, as we were sitting on pots of meat. V'ochleinu lechem masova, ki yotzitem otam lecham midbar hazeh, lamit et kol hakala hazeh barav. And that's when we had tons of meat and tons of bread. And now Hashem took us out into this literal godforsaken midbar again just to kill us. And the question is, wait a second, we all have asked this before. How can Am Yisrael, these slave people, and a month after Yitzya Mitzrayim say, oh, you remember the meat in Mitzrayim? I mean, they were slaves. And what do you know? The Egyptians didn't eat meat because they sacrificed them. They ate a lot of bread. Right? But this meat, what do you mean Mishatinu Asir HaBasar? And just to prove it, later on, are Am Yisrael going to say, oh, we had a lot of basar? No, we had a lot of kishurim, avatichim, batzal. Why here do they say, oh, we remember the basar? Because, beautiful, they're justifiably, and correctly so, they're hungry. When you're really hungry, what do you remember? You remember, and not literally and figuratively, you remember your last supper. Right? You remember, you remember the last supper that you had, and what was their last really good supper? That is so cool. You remember, oh my gosh, Hashem, can we do that again? And Karban Pesach wasn't just a great lamb chop dinner. What else was it? It was also a means through which they were saved from Makat B'charot. So they're coming to Moshe and Aaron. And why did they go to Moshe and Aaron? Because Moshe and Aaron were the ones who commanded them about Karban Pesach. They go back to Moshe and Aaron and they say, we remember a month earlier that we had a great meal wherein Hashem saved us from Makat B'charot. But it must be that Hashem only has power to save us within the borders of Mitzrayim, because that's what it was believed. And it must be that Hashem isn't here anymore to help save us, because we also don't have any food. So Hashem says, no, that's exactly why I did this. I want to put you through that. I save you all the time. Every single day I save you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be through meat per se, but you know what? I'm going to send you meat, just like you had then. What did they eat their Karban Pesach with? So you're going to have man, keneged matzot, and Karban Pesach, what will they have? The slav. And Hashem says, I'm able to continue to save you and provide for you even out of the borders of Mitzrayim. But just like Karban Pesach saved you because you followed certain rules, certain mitzvot, so too, the man will save you, but what mitzvot do you have to follow? The same exact ones. What are the halachot of the man? There's going to be a pre-calculated amount that everyone has to eat. But What amount is that? The omer. And if there's anything left over, then you shouldn't leave it left over. A lot of people left over, just like the carbon pesach. And what else? You're not allowed to leave your confines on Shabbat. Beautiful. And what other? And then you're going to have the man in the morning, just like when you left Mitzrayim, and Motzatu Abuker, but the slav in the evening, being her body. So we have the exact same halachot. In other words, the man is really what? The perpetuation of the same ideas as Karban Pesach, the same personalities, the same words, the same halachot. It's a way of reminding us that we do have Karban Pesach to a certain degree every day. Right, that every time Am Yisrael go out to collect man, that's a demonstration of emunah, which, by the way, in Bamidbar Perek Yudalef is the reason why they say miyachilenu basar. They're not complaining that they don't have meat. They are complaining we're complaining by the mode, the manner in which we're given our food. Right? We don't like the way that we're given our food, that we have to be so dependent on Hashem. But that's exactly the way that Hashem wanted us to get our food, like Mitzrayim, where we recognize that the food is the means through which Hashem is going to be saving us. And every day collecting the man, that's what we're going to be demonstrating by following these halachot, well, we can call them the pseudo halachot of Karban Pesach. So now this makes so much sense. Because what are the people upset about? FOMO! We're not going to be part of this. Identification as being part of Am Yisrael, B'toch B'nai Yisrael. What does Hashem say? No, you can. If you can't celebrate the Karban Pesach, then what's the next closest thing? Celebrate the anniversary of the month, which is Tetzav Iyar. So this way, Gena Pesach Sheni is really going to be not just linked to Karban Pesach, but ultimately linked to the month. And that's why there's a whole deal in the Sechah Pesachim. If you look on page 7, Tanu Rabbanan, Chayav Karit Al HaRishon V'Chayav Karit Al HaSheni. That's why if you miss out on Pesach Rishon, you know that you're chayav kareit, because kareit basically is a way of saying, I'm chayav from Am Yisrael. Yeah, that's because I didn't want to be betoch b'nei Yisrael. But Pesach Sheni has the same goal of being betoch b'nei Yisrael. So if you don't sacrifice enat the karban on Pesach Sheni, then you're also chayav kareit. That's Rabbi Gena, that's Rabbi. Rabbi Natan Omer, chayav kareit ala Rishon, patar ala Sheni. Enat, Rabbi Chanin ben Akvaya Omer, cases. You become bar mitzvah in the middle, right? You become a ger in between the two psachim. What do you do then? All different cases over here. But basically, in the end, we pass in that no, both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are going to be chayav kareit for. Because these are the two means to which you can be part of this machaneh of Am Yisrael. These are part of our identity. So I know that our time is almost up, so I just want to end with what we would call it FOMO take 2. Who else incorporates the exact same terminology as they speak? Right? They want to say the same thing. This time it's not why are we missing out on Am Yisrael. Rather, what's there? Lama Yigara. Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto. You don't want to miss out on the name. The name in Tanakh is always the means to which you perpetuate a relationship with God through the land. Right? What they want is to have a nachala. Chazal even say, what's the mitzvah of Yibum? It's not that you name the child after the deceased brother Reuven, but you give him the nachala. You don't have to name him Reuven. But rather, there's going to be a continuation of the person's name, of the person's legacy, of the person's values. We're having a chelak in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what connects us to Hashem. Which is why not only are B'nos Chalfa going to say this, but why Ruth is going to be married by Boaz, even though it's not Yibum. The Ramban says it's not the letter of the law, but it's the spirit of the law, because what's the whole spirit of the law of Yibum? V'lo yimachashmo miYisrael, make sure he has land, so that his name will not be erased. And that's why there's a mitzvah of Gu'ulat Sadeh, a family relative, puts the field for sale. Make sure that you're going to be the one to keep the family name attached to the field, because the name of a Nachala, it's really what connects you to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Yevamah that says, "Yakum Hashem Lachid leNachala Ta'omer leNachala Vayinu Halal L'Shem." That clearly is L'Shem, and that's why B'nos Chachad were saying it's not Lama Nigara. What did they say? Lama Yigara Shem Avinu. Why should our father's name be lost? Why should he and Just because we're five daughters, and parallel to the five times that the term Ben is used in the story of Tzolk'ev, then he should still have his Nachala. And that is, we know, establishes a precedent for Ruth as well, and to make sure that she, or in her case, Naomi, doesn't lose out, which is why Chazal, a beautiful, beautiful Midrash. You should go look at this Midrash on Mishlei on page 9, a beautiful Midrash on Mishlei that goes through Eshet Chayil and says, Yana Eshet Chayil Me'im Salam Lemuel, quotes his mother as saying, my mother said, don't divest of my Chayil to woman, instead look for an Eshet Chayil. And now Chazal say, each one of these Neshot Chayil, even though the Pshat is, these are different values that men and women should be striving to attain, but and each one of these psukim, each one could be referring to a different woman in Tanakh. Batachbali bala sariminu. Gamalatu tovelo rag milut chasen. And the gamal is Rivka. Darsha temo fishkem is Leah, who came out to the field. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting to get to Rabot banot asu chayil ve at alita kulana. Who is this like amazing one that supersedes everyone else? What do Chazal say? Zoru tamalavi. Which is so ironic. She's not even Jewish. And yet, she did chayil more than anyone else. She understood what it meant to perpetuate a name in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, just for a greater proof, that's why Sefer Bamidbar ends Dafka with the complimentary story of an Tzolk'ev. They said, Lama Yigarashim Avinu, take a look at Pasuk Gimel, the heads of the tribe of Menashe come and they say, wait a second, if one of the daughters marries outside of the Shebet, but it's not even going to be in their interest or in our interest. We're going to lose out on Nachala, and the name of their father and the tribe will also be lost. And Moshe says, you know what? You're also right. And Moshe says, in the name of Hashem, Kim Mate B'nei Yosef Dovrim, just like Kim B'nei Yosef Dovrim. So now we've seen that there's significant FOMO, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. There's significant FOMO, Lama Nigara B'toch B'nei Yisrael, the national Pesach ceremony. There's one more term, or one more time, that the term Yigara is used in the Torah, and that is, you know, in Sefer Dvarim. כל הדבר שאנחנו מצווה אתכם, אותו תשמעו לעשות, לא תוסיף עליו ולא תגרם ממנו. It doesn't just say, don't not keep mitzvot. Don't attract the mitzvot. You should have like real formal for mitzvot. And you don't want to miss out on any mitzvot. Which I guess you can say to end with Rav Kook then. And it is that they are three different aspects of Jewish identity. Pesach Sheni reminds us that we don't want to miss out on the Toch B'nei Yisrael. And that's missing out on the identity of Am Yisrael. The Notzlokha teach us, Lama Yigarashim Avinu, you don't want to miss out on the identity of Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem tells us, you also don't want to be Borea Me Torat Hashem. You don't want to miss out on Torat Yisrael. I think particularly in Mamash, on the Eid of Pesach Sheni, what we have to remember is that this is such a fascinating date. It's the date that reminds us that there are second chances. But these second chances don't stand in a vacuum. The second chances are built off of Pesach Rishon. Man is a reminder that, wait a second, there are so many different aspects in our lives through which we really can participate in national events. And even if we're Rachok, even if we're in Galut, even if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, there's Pesach Sheni, right? There are other ways of associating and of reminding ourselves. And now particularly through the anniversary of Man, you'll also remember that there is this national identity through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. So the hope is that when you learn Tanakh, but especially when you already have the halachic knowledge, that you'll be able to appreciate what the basis of these halachot are, so that you can then internalize the messages while you're observing the mitzvah to remember that there is significant FOMO as well. And by this I mean not only FOMO, to make sure that we don't miss out on the values of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and Torah Yisrael, to make sure that we don't miss out on the sources and understanding the root and the meaning behind it. So I want to thank you for a wonderful opportunity. I also, Jasa, want to ask you, so you're all Bezrat Hashem continuing in Jutats next year? Maybe. Excellent. I know, but no. It'll be in Eretz Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem. We're going to talk. Yeah. And now that, so I want to wish you firstly Hatzlacha, but also, and I should say, I know this always comes up that, and that people wonder, hey, we're learning a lot. What are we going to do with all this learning? So firstly, what are you going to do with all this learning? Thank you. I was going to say, this is your Avodas Hashem. That's right. You're going to incorporate this into your lives. So whatever it is that you end up doing, doctors, lawyers, engineers, it doesn't make a difference. And this is what's going to enhance your Avodas Hashem. Beautiful. And for those of you who also say, wait a second, I've learned so much. I just want to share it with Am Yisrael. So what are you going to do? Well, share it, and you'll teach in whatever capacity. That's right. And if you're going to choose to do that, then it is imperative that you also be able to obviously develop both that experience of not only what you're saying, but how you're saying it, and formulating, and not to know how to affect people with Torah, which isn't just black and white on a source sheet, but serving both as a role model and as an inspiration, and teaching them how to relate to their Avodat Hashem. Right? You're not imparting, or you're not trying to literally impose your Avodah on them, but rather enlighten them, right? And enhance and enrich their lives in Avodat Hashem. So I look forward to Svat Hashem. I hope I spoke to come up. Every time I come in, I really see it as a tremendous look to teach the future leaders of Am Yisrael here. So I hope that I've continued to do so. And when you're in Eretz Yisrael, to please come and participate in the various, very, very incredible, and Tanakh Torah Shvuah teaching programs. And on that note, and I'll also say there's a wonderful program now through Matan and Yerushalayim to train teachers how to teach, and to take primarily Tanakh, but also Gemara and Halakha. And it's important, especially in a high school setting, and with different interests that are there, I think, significant that people see that you teach both Torah Shabbatav, Torah Shabbatav, Machshav in Yisrael. And sometimes it's just a matter of honing skills so that you can then impart all that knowledge that you have. And another wonderful program, I know you're all very familiar with the Nishmat Yotzei Talacha program, which is phenomenal. And I encourage everyone to serve as a leader in their community by pursuing the Yotzei Talacha program. But because it's only run once every other year, and they're very selective with regard to the different participants, so just know that there are other very wonderful halacha programs as well. For example, Matan and Yerushalayim also has a 5-year halacha program, Hakuta. Midrash at Lindenbaum has a Manigot halacha program. And in Matan Renana, there's also a Moroka halacha program, particularly for women who are going to be teaching in their communities. I call it like Yoatzot Plus, meaning it's learning all of the Nida and a focus on Nida and all the biological, the psychological, sexological aspects involved. But also a day where you learn so many other aspects that relate to Hilchot Nashim, whether it's Gittin, Anna Nisuin, Abelut, Anna Hilchot Erba, Anna to also Anna have a broader, much broader knowledge of Halachot that you'll see are extremely relevant not only to women but to women on a very personal basis. So again, thank you for this wonderful opportunity and have a meaningful and uplifting Pesach Sheni.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.